This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Finley 106.7 The Fan. Joining us now, you heard that call. The goal is our friend, Mr. John Walton. I honestly don't know where John is, if he's in America or Canada. Hello, John. How do you do?
Very much in the United States of America, but thanks for asking. We're all good here.
That's good to hear. Glad you're back. Dude, what an electric game yesterday. And I'm on a text thread with a bunch of my buddies, and early in that third period, they're like, guys, I'm really starting to get nervous about this series. And then they just turned everything around.
At one hit.
I mean, seriously, the Willie hit. What was that like in person?
It was seismic. It was clean. There's a lot of folks, not a lot of folks, but there's some, especially in the Montreal camp, that took issue with the hit, and that's crazy. That's a clean hit. He hit him shoulder to shoulder. The follow-through is very legal. There's nothing that was wrong with that hit, unless you're Alexander Carrier, who got blasted in the next week. So I feel that it did absolutely turn things around. Duhaime scores shortly thereafter. Montreal's in a lot of trouble. And I think going back to game one, we realized that the Capitals are easily the better team in this series. And not all, sometimes the best team doesn't always win, but they are clearly, they have the best offensive weapons. Dylan Strome is off to one of the best starts any Capital has ever had offensively, first four games. There's only four guys in Caps playoff history that have had more points. So you're getting it from a lot of places. It's been a little uneven. They didn't have a very good game in game three. But even when they were a turnover machine, they had 17 giveaways in game three. And the special teams have been a little bit lacking. But even with that, they could have won game three. And they did win game four because they were much better in controlling their zone. And when given the opportunity after the Wilson hit, and being able to find different guys, Duhaime and Mangiapane, not exactly leading the offense during the regular season, both huge games, huge third periods yesterday, in being able to finish them off. So 3-1 coming home. I mean, look, the history of things here is, you know, it's not over till it's over, and Caps fans know that as well as anybody. But I'm telling you, the Caps are the better team, and I think they have a really good chance of closing this thing out on Wednesday night.
We talk about people maturing, and you can look at Tom. I think they've tried all types of things with Tom. They tried to, you know, agitate him, but he stayed cool. And that hit yesterday just shows a lot about it, where he hit the guy legally, but it completely changed the game.
It did. And I,
but they haven't gotten under his skin like they would normally have done.
Yeah, and Tom even said to us after game three, look, I was on tilt a little bit. I'm paraphrasing, but he – you know, he knew that he was a little bit over the line, and he can't be in the penalty box because he's too valuable. He scores too many goals. He is too valuable on the penalty kill. He's too much of a deterrent on the ice. Everybody's going to wake up when they're coming, when he's coming their direction. So he knows he's got to, he had to be better from game three to game four, and he absolutely was. And to be able to time that hit the way that he did, pick your spots, do it legally. He absolutely did. And not spend the time in the penalty box where you're not able to contribute to the cause. I thought he was good. There are a lot of guys that have been very good in this series. And now you're looking at, it sure sounds like we're going to see Alexei Protas on Wednesday,
all
who's
right,
been out here for 3 weeks. So only getting better here, getting Logan Thompson back, getting Protas back. Missing Martin Ferravari sucks, but everything else about what's gone on here, pretty encouraging. No team is going to sweep anybody, and the Caps could get it done as quickly as any team if they can win on Wednesday night.
You know, Ovi's penalty, when they put him in the box, I thought that was an inadvertent hit.
I got to tell you, I wasn't entirely – I understand why they called it, and I didn't get too up in arms about it, but I'm not – I don't disagree with that. I think he kind of ran into Ovi, and it was a little bit of coincidental that they met in the place that they did. But much like Wilson, I mean, when you've got big guys against little guys, sometimes – you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. But you are seeing, even when those things get called, why are the Capitals successful? They're successful because they're big and they can skate and they have offense and they play good defense. And game three wasn't good for them. But the other three games in this series, Montreal hasn't had a lot of answers. And now, as they're coming home on Wednesday night, the thing that was so impressive, Spencer Carberry outcoached Martin St. Louis last night in a big, big way. And I, you know, he's a rookie head coach, a tremendous player, obviously, but MSL's never been done this before. Spencer Carberry went to school on his experience against a very experienced coach last year in Peter Laviolette. And even though he didn't have last change, he owned it last night. So the coaching, the goaltending, the defense, the offense, there's really a lot of things going right. Every game's going to be close. It's the playoffs. That's the way that it goes. Montreal's a good team. They're coming in the next year or two. They're going to be a regular, I think, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But right now, Washington's just the better team.
B-Mitch and Philly, 106.7 The Fan on the Rude Guest Hotline. We're talking to our friend John Walton. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And John, I've talked to you many times. I always said about when this team used to be where they stood around and watch Ovi. And as you just stated, everybody seems to be doing their job. You just talked about Carberry, how great he's doing. But the people who are picking all this talent and making sure that they're signed, they should be commended as well, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick, last summer is really where this started. The Capitals were a fringe playoff team a year ago. They got in. They weren't there long, but they went out and got Matt Roy and went out and got Pierre-Luc Dubois and went out and got Brandon Duhaime. Look what he did last night. Yeah. Got Andrew Mangiapane. Look what he did last night. They brought in seven guys that all clicked as well as they could have clicked. Yeah. And to be able to contribute and turn this from a team that, yeah, you know what, they're a pretty good team to, wow, they're a very good team. And being able to get more from guys that maybe didn't have the career going in other places that they had hoped, they've come here and they've excelled. And I think being able to have the hockey operations staff the Capitals does, it's no accident that the Capitals are in this position. They went out and identified guys, they worked, and now here they are on the verge of the second round.
They didn't start off like I expected them to start yesterday, but they were able to come back. When you look at this game coming up on Wednesday, do you feel they have to get a fast start? Because what I've noticed about the Canadiens, they are not just falling back. They don't just take a backseat. They're very opportunistic. And if you give them a chance, they're going to hurt you.
I think the real advantage, and to your point, Montreal's forwards are dangerous. Cole Caulfield is going to be a star in this league for a long time. Juraj Slefkovský has been very good in this series. And Nick Suzuki, that whole line has been a handful. And you have to be mindful of when they are on the ice. But what made yesterday so great was the fact that you went into Bell Center. And I'm telling you guys, I've been in a lot of hockey arenas. I've been to a lot of football stadiums. I've been to a lot of baseball stadiums. That place is insane. I don't think there's a place in North America. 22,500 indoors is a lot of people. It's the biggest arena in major pro sports that's indoors. And they were insane in game three. And you thought, okay, like you're kind of going up against the crowd and the Caps got a little flustered, but they not only found a way to win the game, but they did it when they didn't have last change. And Spencer Carberry got all the matchups he wanted in this game. And now that's Montreal's problem on Wednesday night. They don't get last change. The Caps have their fans behind them. And they're going to have a lot of trouble. I'm not saying that there is no such thing as an easy game. Montreal is going to put their best effort forward. The fourth win is always the hardest to get. But being able to have an easier time matching, getting those combinations you want. So if you want Pierre-Luc Dubois' line out against the Suzuki line, guess what, guys? You're going to have to get through the best defense the Capitals have to offer. You didn't always have to do that in Montreal. You're going to have to do it in D.C. So there's a lot encouraging here is what I'm saying. So between now and getting going for Game 5, You know, there's a lot of folks in Montreal that thought their best chance was, okay, get it even, go to a best of three. You're going to have one more home game. You just got to win one game in D.C. Well, now you're going to have to win a whole bunch of games in D.C.
There you go.
So it's a lot harder task because of what happened yesterday. Now they can try and finish it off on Wednesday.
I know I heard you say that when we talked with you last week about how loud it was at the Bell Center. And I was sitting with my friends over at a little bar. And you can, you know, you listen to some games and the crowd is so loud to where you're like, damn. It has to be, like, deafening inside of that place. That's how I felt yesterday. So I'm putting the challenge out. Caps fans, what you going to do?
You know, bring it.
Bring it. Let's show them that, you know, we can get the same thing because I can see why they play so hard at home because their fans are truly behind them. Caps fans are behind them too, but I want them to take it up another level.
I couldn't hear myself in my own headset. I was talking with Tarik El-Bashir, who was on TNT duty for the game, and he's trying to hear from in his earpiece from the producer, and good luck, couldn't do it. You're out in the bowl. What did you say? I mean, there was a lot of that over the course of two and a half hours, but it got real quiet in the third period yesterday,
yes.
And that was nice. And by the time that the Caps got that empty net goal, they were heading out into the Montreal night and looking for other things to do. So more of that. Don't go back to Montreal. Finish it off here, and you won't have to worry about contending with that again. You can get ready for what is probably the Carolina Hurricanes. They're up 3-1 on the other side. So finishing it off, getting a little bit of rest would be nice. If they can finish it off on Wednesday, no guarantees of anything, but it certainly would behoove them to be able to try and nail it down and then have a few days to rest, reflect, and get ready for what's next.
Are you worried about any kind of retaliation towards Tom? Although it's absolutely legal. I hate the fact that guys that are strong and big, they always seem to be doing – people try to make it seem like they're doing something wrong. When they do stuff absolutely legal, they're just bigger than you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? And if somebody wants to try and retaliate on Tom Wilson, I wish them luck because 6'4", 225, you can do what you want. I think Montreal, I think we've seen a lot of chippiness. We've seen a lot of stuff after the whistle. We've seen a lot of stuff
at
TV timeouts. Yeah, and the Caps in Montreal were both fined $25,000 today, by the way, for some of that, and trying to maybe curtail that with a little bit of monetary incentive. So what's going to happen, I think, Mitch, here in Game 5 is Montreal can't mess around with any of that. They have to win or they're going to the golf course. So they are going to put their absolute best out in the first 10 minutes on Wednesday night. You're going to see a lot of the Suzuki line with Slefkovsky and Caulfield, and they are a tremendous line, and they are a load to handle. And the Capitals are going to have to be at their best, there's no doubt. But we have seen time and time again, twice now in this series, 25 times during the regular season, the Capitals, when they have gotten behind, have come back to win. Nothing phases this group. It hasn't all year, and it hasn't in this playoff series either. And getting to, even giving up the first goal, if Montreal scores first in Game 5, I don't think anybody in that room is going to be too worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Caps get the first couple of goals, I think Montreal folds up their tent and goes home. But they're going to have their best. There's no doubt they're going to bring the house in the first 10, and the Capitals are going to have to be ready for it.
Well, I hope God forgive me for this one. This dude Anderson, bro, he needs to get his. Look, I take stuff personal.
He's been running around.
I watched him from the first game. I'm like, this dude, like, you know, you go through some games and you go to series and you end up having someone you don't like. He has taken that position. He just does something a little dirty, slick, but after the fact, and Hiram gets out of there because he don't want to deal with the person he's messing with.
It's funny because through the course of his career, he's a pretty good goal scorer. He was with Columbus and, you know, and Montreal, and I always thought of him as a guy, it's like, yeah, decent offensive player, but he never could do anything against the Caps. 28 games in the regular season, he scored one goal. And this is a guy with, you know, 150, 160, 170 goals in his career. Not a bad, you know, offensive player at all.
Uh-huh.
But he's taken on a very different persona here from what I think, you know, when you only see a guy maybe, you know, two, three, four times a year, and now you're seeing him under the bright lights in the playoffs. And he definitely has an edge to him. I don't know that I fully realize.
I think he has that edge because he know Tom can't hurt his team right now. Because this was a regular season game, and all he does is get suspended for a game, come back, he wouldn't touch him.
Yeah, there's certainly something to that. I mean, he's going to do what he does. He's a competitor just like Tom is, and, you know, he's going to bring his best too. But I think that on the whole, especially I think the Caps get a pretty good lift. If Alexei Protas ends up coming back on Wednesday night, I think mentally that's going to be a huge lift for the penalty kill. It's going to be a huge lift for the top six. He had 30 goals during the regular season, and now he gets a game or two to get his legs underneath him here and get ready, hopefully, for the second round and get back up to speed. After Logan Thompson, I was surprised as anybody that he was back out, and I think we all were in the media corps and for the Montreal media corps. When he left the game in game three, I didn't think we were going to see him the rest of the series, and we didn't see him at practice on the off day, so we didn't have any reason to think anything different. And then he came out over the skate and goes into the starter's net. Okay, I guess this is happening.
Hey, like y'all say, hockey players are built differently, man.
They are, and he certainly was, and he played great. He's been great this whole series, and hopefully he gets that fourth and final win to move him along.
All right, John, man. Well, I appreciate you giving us some time, man, and we look forward to the game on Wednesday.
You bet. Let's get her done, and we'll keep chatting here. Let's hope till June, guys.
Let's get the little red Corvette going, brother.
Listen, yeah, I can do a whole segment with Prince on you whenever you want, Mitch. You know that.
I got you, man. All right, John. Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll see
you. All right. That's our friend John Walton. You can follow him on X at John Walton PXP. That's play by play. We're going to take us a quick break here. And we just finished up with the draft over the weekend, and the Commanders had only 5 picks. I think they did a terrific job with the draft. I think they did a lot of work in the offseason where it put them in a position where they didn't have to force anything. And I also feel that the roster that they're going to start off with in the first game of the season is not fully constructed yet. They are going to try and still get some extra pieces on here. But the question I'm going to ask, will trading all those draft picks to get guys on this team, will it haunt the Commanders? I'll let you know my answer, and we'll try and get yours. B. Mitchell Philly, 106.7 The Fan, coming up. We'll be right back shortly.